Peace, love, blessings, and honor. Welcome, everybody. I am your co-host, Eyes Red.
And I'm your co-host, Reality Soldier.
And we are Garvey's Ghost in the Spectrum of Roots. You don't have a little bit, that's a big smile.
Okay.
You don't have a little tea, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Try to brush it up, pile of confused.
Nice to
know. Today, I know we always say it's a special day, and I'm tired of saying it, but I actually mean it this time. This is very, very special, and I feel really honored. Could you introduce our guest?
So today's guest is a legendary artist, songwriter, performer, the one and only Judy Boucher.
God.
Yes. How you doing, Judy?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Nice to have you here. This is such a privilege for us.
It's nice being here again.
And you're looking so well.
It's been a few years,
you know?
About three and a half years or so.
Okay, right.
But,
okay.
But so nice to be back.
Okay, and for the viewers, just to let everybody know, we're in Simonstown, Cape Town.
South Africa.
Yeah, just everybody knows, you know, what we're talking about. We let them know, you know.
And it's a happy coincidence that we're meeting. Yes,
yeah.
You know. It is, isn't it really?
Yeah.
I don't think we met before.
No, we haven't, no.
And we just ran into, was it yesterday?
Yesterday, yeah. But this is what the power of music is, isn't it? You know, when you do music and you meet people.
You get to meet people you've never met before.
Absolutely.
Things happen.
Absolutely. Yeah, and like I was saying, my mum would be so pleased that I'm interviewing you with my friend here, so yeah.
My wife would be impressed as well.
Let's take it to the beginning then. Where was you born? Let's talk about where you born, your parents and your siblings and your family.
Well, this part is called, where you born, how it go.
Yeah, I say that for God.
I am originally from St. Vincent and the Grenadines.
I read that. I was stunned.
Yeah, I read that as well.
Yeah, why?
No, you know, I it didn't occur to me. And I have a good friend, right, Vinny, very proud Vinny. Michael, you see how me I represent the people there? he's going to be so chuffed we're talking to you. But yes,
I was born in a small town, Georgetown.
Okay.
In Dixon Village.
Right.
So I lived in Dixon until I was about 9 years old.
Right. Big family, small family?
Yes, quite a large family. I came from a family of about 9 children.
Wow.
I think I'm number 5.
Okay.
Not quite sure.
In the middle somewhere.
Yeah. So anyhow, when I was probably around 5, my mom emigrated to the UK. And I lived in Dixon, in Georgetown area, until I was 9.
Okay.
Stayed with your grandmother?
With other siblings.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Older sisters and older brothers.
Right.
Yeah. And then about the age of 9, I was sent into Kingstown, which is the capital.
Oh, right.
I lived there with some cousins until I was 15 years old, and at 15, I went to England to join mom.
Okay, but you started your school in St. Vincent?
Yes, I did. I started school in Dixon, in Georgetown area.
Right.
Yeah, and when I went to Kingstown to live with some other family, I still continued schooling in Kingstown until I was 15.
Yes.
And at the age of 15, my mom sent for me.
Right.
To the UK, which something I was very pleased and excited
about. Okay. How did you find schooling in the West Indies for you? How was it for you?
It was fine. I think I was an okay student. I wasn't absolutely brilliant. I think the arithmetic was the one that got me, but the spelling and dictation, story writing, drawing maps and stuff like that came quite easily.
Right.
Yeah.
But the maths was a no-no.
The maps was fine.
Oh, really?
You know, you say, draw me a map of Grenada and I will do it.
Oh, okay.
Of St. Vincent, I'll do it.
Okay, so you had an artistic.
Very, very artistic. Right.
Okay.
I grew up, I didn't see myself as someone who would be on the stage when it comes to nativity plays and such, I was quite shy.
Okay.
So they never saw that in me, so I wasn't invited to perform or anything right. like that. So I just stayed in the background and watch everyone with their Christmas plays and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about teachers? Did you have any influential teachers that inspired you for anything?
No, not really.
No? Can't remember the name of any...
Not influential teachers.
No favourites?
When I went to Kingstown...
Right.
There were teachers there. There was a Mr. Lane.
Okay.
Mr. Robertson was... headmaster.
Okay.
And apparently he was my godfather.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But you know, Kingston was hard.
Right.
Because, I don't know, I think they thought I was a country bumpkin.
Wow, okay.
Sort of. So there was this girl in the town. My hair was a problem.
In what regard?
I always did have red hair.
Oh, ah.
And when they're unhappy with me, they will curse me about my red hair.
Yes.
They would say, look at your hair. Your hair look like Sophie Grass. You know, you know, poor Judy, you know, they'd call me Reddings.
Okay.
Mulatto.
Right.
Wow. Aberdee. So then, Aberdee is a cried tribe of Indian. They were a
pride. Right. Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I stuck with it.
Okay.
And at the age of 15, my mom decided it's time I went to England.
And how did you find that transition from the nice, beautiful, warm island of St. Vincent to the cold, dreary England?
It was very difficult.
Yeah.
I remember when I was flying into, I think it was Gatwick Airport, and I looked out of the window, all I can see is smoke.
Right.
I thought, oh my God, everywhere, it's just, this whole place is just like a factory.
Yeah.
It's all the chimneys, you know.
Yeah.
With the central, that's how they made their warm.
What year was this?
1966.
Oh,
I'd be more interested in the time of year. My wife came over here, and for some reason they used to bring our children from the Caribbean in the winter.
Yeah.
You could not just bring them in the summer when the sun has shined.
It was August.
Right.
Oh, really? It's kind of summer still.
It was August.
Still a big transition.
1966.
Right.
So still, they needed... To burn the wood or the coal.
Yes, yeah.
Because the evenings were still chilly and to make the fireplace, you know.
Yeah.
Where was mum based when she came over here?
Had we come in Buckinghamshire,
okay,
my mum.
Yeah.
When she left from St. Vincent, she went to High Wycombe in Bucks.
Okay.
Why is there? Was there family there?
And there was lots of inceptions there.
Oh, okay.
So this happened when, like, one friend come from the village.
I see.
They would help another to come. And it just happened through the years.
Right. So we end up in Brixton and Stoke Newington.
So they say that the most Vincentians lives in High Wycombe, Buckinghamshire, even now.
Okay.
Right.
And would it have been like the same thing? I imagine M time is the one room situation, you share the kitchen and then
wife. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
So it's the same kind of struggle that we was having in London.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is quite true.
Okay. So when did you start school when you came the last year?
I didn't get to go to school. I was 15.
Okay.
That's right.
So I've just missed out.
Right.
So I started work.
Okay.
I remember my first job was at the dry cleaners in Beaconsfield. That was quite a rich area. I used to have to get on a bus from High Wycombe to called Wycombe Marsh, from High Wycombe Central, Wycombe Marsh, get another bus to Beaconsfield.
Right.
And it wasn't easy.
Okay.
You know, and then the job was at a dry cleaners.
Big dry cleaners or smaller?
Big-ish.
Right.
Yes. Mm. Because Beaconsfield's a rich place.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And kept you busy. But I didn't like it much.
Right.
Not because I couldn't cope with the job. The job was fine, But every day I would get a headache.
Okay, yeah, chemicals.
That's it. Mm. And it took a while. I didn't want to moan.
Yeah.
But I had to, and every day this headache.
Right.
And then my mom had me checked and discovered that it's the chlorine,
yes,
that they were using that was affecting me.
Right.
So I had to leave that job.
Okay.
And then my next job was at the firm Long and Hambly in High Wycombe.
Okay.
Rubber and plastics.
Oh, wow. So from one chemical to another kind
another
of.
Chemical.
That was a factory?
That was a factory. Right. Quite, oh, yeah, lots of black people worked there.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, High Wycombe, I think, had the most Vincentians.
Right. Can I ask, you know, because the same thing we know at them times in London, did you have the no blacks, no dogs, no Irish whites?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm glad it was all over the country. And not
yeah,
just,
like yeah. where we were.
Yeah. And I think apparently they treated the Irish like that as well.
Oh, yes, yeah, so my mom's Irish and my dad's Jamaican, so we get the, you know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Double links.
Double links, really. Them calling yeah. me chip or them calling me half breed, and you know what I mean? For real.
So, what was life like for a young black girl having to assimilate and get? Where did you go? White people?
Well,
was
in
right?
High Wycombe, we just went to dances at the weekends. Parties, they would have little area where somebody would have like a garage, a big garage, and they would call it a donkey pen.
Okay, back home.
But they had the sound system
right
in there, and we used to go there on a Friday night and Saturday night.
Okay.
And party, and Sunday we go to church.
Yes.
Yes.
Wow. So what is kind of the national music of St. Vincent? What is the style, is it? You know, because I think every island in the West Indies, like Jamaica's reggae. I know in St. Lucia, they like country and Western. So every island have a little style.
It's the same.
Yeah?
Reggae.
Okay.
Mm.
So that's the predominant music
yes.
in St. Vincent.
Yes, and Calypso, of
and
course.
Calypso, yeah.
Because we have the carnival.
Right, steel pan and everything.
Well. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're talking about your teenage years and life in England, and you just touched down. What was your ambitions at this point? What did you want to be? What did you
want
to do?
Because I know you didn't want a life in dry cleaning.
No, I went from dry cleaning to Long and Hambly, which was rubber and plastics.
Mm, right.
They used to do lighting, you know those amber lights at the back of your cars and
okay.
things like that. They used to manufacture those.
Oh. Okay.
And then I went into a place where they make clothing.
Okay.
Weddings.
Dressmaking?
Or yes, skirts and blouses and skirts.
Blouses and skirts.
So that's where it come from.
Blouses and skirts. So it's like overlocking and anything there?
All that, yes.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. And
but what did you want to do?
Yeah.
Were you happy
what
to just
ambition?
Go? Were you happy to just go from a series?
I was just going with the flow.
Right, okay.
I think at the time, there wasn't really anything that I was really, really great at.
Okay.
Just happy to make a little money every week.
Yeah, just,
work.
Well, I had to work for a living.
Yes,
reason,
of course. That's
traditional. Yeah. And from Weldon's, we did fabric, garment.
Right.
I went into another place where, oh, it was a pharmaceutical firm.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Pure chemical, yeah, deal with.
Yeah. But they did, they made, like, the equipment, the,
right.
That those, you know those, when you're having an injection, those.
Syringe.
Yes.
Right.
And they did, like, plastic tubing and stuff like that.
Okay. Working in the fashion industry, what was your fashion at the time?
Nothing special.
No?
No miniskirt, no high heel booty, no.
Well, miniskirt, but not high heel booty.
Okay.
Normal.
Right.
But after, while I was at, you know, the pharmaceutical factory, about those times, I was really around 15, 16, 17 years old.
Okay.
And that was about the time I had an elder brother.
Oh, here.
And already in England before me. And we lived in High Wycombe. My mom was renting a flat.
Okay.
where many of us lived.
Right.
Upstairs and downstairs. And in the flat, there was, my brother called it a baby grand piano.
Okay, yes.
Yep, with your little big ones. Yeah. You lift it up.
Yeah,
above the keys. And he used to play that quite comfortably.
Okay.
He was quite a musician. He played the guitar.
Nice.
He made his own banjos.
Nice.
And everything. Okay. So,
did he play in the church?
No, he didn't play in the church. He just played at home.
Right.
But he had friends, and they used to get together and
jam.
And yeah, that's it. So when I arrive now, he used to play this piano. Not all the keys worked, that was quite okay. But he still got some joy from it. And so he was inviting me to sing.
Nice.
And I wasn't interested.
Okay.
Because I had other things to do.
Right.
I had to go to work. When I finished work, I had to come home and start the cooking.
Right.
The ironing, and all that. All the boys do this play.
Yes,
I remember those
and things. And I noticed that.
Right.
I noticed that. And I would say to him, go away and leave me alone.
Right.
I've got to go and cook. But every day I got this. He will not give up.
Right.
Oh, come and sing for me, Jude. Come on. And it went on and on.
But he knew you had a voice though, right?
Well, I don't know.
I guess you must have been singing while he was doing the cooking.
Well, I wasn't conscious of it.
Right.
it was said though that while I was in St. Vincent, I used to sing the calypso.
Right.
And at one point they started calling me Sparrow.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because right. I used to like the, you know, the calypso. But however, my brother, he kept on every day. And it began to annoy me. And I decided, all right, today I'm going to sing and see if he would stop.
Okay.
So this day now, he come, come on, Jude, sing for me. And I said, all right. He was a bit shocked.
Really?
When we started. And he said, what are you going to sing? And I said, there's a song called Stand By Me. I think it was Benny King.
Yeah.
And I started singing. And he stopped playing.
You're touching. Wow.
I said, what's your problem? You nagged me for months to sing. Now I'm singing. You stop. He says, oh my God.
You touched him.
What a voice. And I said to him, yeah. You're just saying that because I'm your sister and you're supposed to say nice things.
Sometimes.
And he said, no, Jude, no, honestly, you have a beautiful voice. And you know what he said? I think we must form a group.
Just like that.
Yeah. And he says, I've got friends and we can make a group. And we call the group Judy, Jack, and the Beanstalks.
Wow. Easy enough.
Yeah. I read that, you know, and I thought, no, that ain't real. It's real.
Judy, Jack, and the Beanstalks.
Judy, Jack, and the Beanstalks. Because my mother's maiden name is Jack.
Oh. Okay?
So I'm actually Judith Jack.
Wow.
But everybody called me Judy.
That makes sense, though.
Yeah.
All right.
So. So he said, and we started the group. We became very popular. We used to do weddings, the pubs,
right?
Ooh.
Youth clubs,
yes,
and all those places. And like the holiday season on Boxing Day, somebody would ask us to come and sing, play and sing.
Okay.
So what were you doing? Sort of R&B, Motown covers, that type of thing? Yeah.
Bit of everything, you know, and it was noticed that people are that they're a little bit mesmerized. They started crying.
Crying, really?
Yeah, that started very early.
Right.
And especially when they knew that your brothers and sisters.
Right.
Yeah. Touching.
What did your brother play on stage? Piano?
He played the guitar and sometimes he played the
piano. Right, okay.
Yeah. Okay. He further graduated though. He started at one point he moved away to the West Country, to Wales.
Okay.
And I wasn't with him, of course. He was married then, so he moved to that area. And then he was doing the Bucklands.
Right, oh, okay.
The holiday camps and yes. stuff. So he would play the organ and sing.
Oh, so your brother sings as well?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Right. Very good. I think he's still doing it now.
Yeah. In Wales. Okay. Yeah. What about any of your other siblings? Are they musical?
Yeah. I have another brother named George Jack.
Okay.
They call him Big George.
Big George.
And he sings blues.
Wow. Whoa.
And he's very good at it.
Okay.
If you see a guy anytime on social media, he's really big. You know.
Okay.
Way over 6 foot and very dark and
right.
Yeah. He sings the blues like the guys in
Tennessee, yeah.
Yes, that's it. Yeah. That's Big George.
Wow. So it sounds like the beginning of your musical career is like taking shape here.
It's almost like it couldn't be denied.
No.
Well, it happened.
Yeah.
And we became very, very popular around the southeast of England. We do the weddings, the pubs. And it became a point where my brother decided that he was moving away.
Right.
He's getting married.
Hmm.
And he's moving to the West Country.
Okay.
And so that left you where now?
It left me, I didn't feel as though I wanted to be in a band with anyone else.
Oh, right.
So, and then other people started asking me, but there were steel bands.
Okay.
Steel, and I didn't feel the same.
Okay.
You know, with that. I did some shows with them, but then I decided as well, he's gone.
Right.
And then I just sort of...
How long did the band with your brother at that time?
Over 10 years.
Over 10 years. Well, okay. So it's a good one.
Yeah, it was.
And did you encounter any problems, like obstacles, challenges while having the band, or was it kind of plain sailing?
It was plain sailing.
I guess your brother was protecting you.
Yeah, he was there all the time.
Right,
you know,
right.
He would be like, I remember people used to come up and speak to me and he would be like, where is she?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he'll find me speaking to somebody and say, oh my God, you're always talking to somebody.
Okay.
Let's go. Because we've got to drive from Luton or Reading back to Helmicombe. Let's get out of here.
Yeah.
You know.
So what are the musical influences apart from like what the stuff you're playing with your brother is like mostly R&B and reggae and
soul.
Soul.
Who was your favorite?
Aretha Franklin.
Oh, nice.
People like that.
Yeah.
Because she was the one biggest at the time.
Right.
Aretha.
Okay.
The Gladys Knight.
Yeah.
Those people.
Yeah. And had you recorded anything at this stage?
Yeah. When was that first?
So once my brother was gone, I didn't feel that I want to be in a band with anybody else, really.
Yeah.
I did a few shows with the Steel band. They were nice shows because they were big shows. I remember doing one in West London Air Terminal.
Okay.
Massive. But that was at Heathrow.
Wow.
Where people, they go crazy. It's just like people take off their clothes and streak. I don't know if it was the alcohol or what, you know, but it's just like, oh my God, people actually, they just go mad.
Right.
And these sort of things happen. But then it really wasn't my thing.
Right.
So I actually settled down, got married myself.
Okay.
I had a couple of children.
Nice.
And
so during that time, music was not on the agenda at all.
Not really, but people remembered.
Right.
People remembered.
Cool.
Unfortunately, the marriage wasn't that stable.
Mm.
And this was life-changing, actually.
Right.
Some people would say tragic.
Right. Okay.
Because my husband apparently he became schizophrenic.
Oh, right.
Life-threatening to me.
Right.
And I had to flee from Helmicombe into Oxfordshire.
Okay.
For my safety.
And the children.
And that,
sorry to hear that.
That was when the change happened. I was away from High Wycombe for a number of months while local government and people that I had to get involved because I had children, should be at school.
Yes.
They will not rehouse me because I had my own family home. Get back into your home. How am I going to do that?
Because I suppose at that time, certain things weren't really recognized, as in, not to say there was any like bad things, but you know, them times there wasn't such a thing as domestic violence and all that kind of stuff. It was just like, it's your marriage, you sort it out kind of thing. You know?
Well, I think it was recognized as being, there is a mental problem.
Right.
But they were handling it in the wrong way.
Right.
Whereas, like, in one point, he was somewhere in central London and actually took off all his clothes in public.
Oh, okay.
Now, that's a case where he was arrested. And then what happened next? They called me.
Right.
And it was identified that that's wrong.
Mm.
This man has a mental condition. He should have been hospitalized.
Right.
So however, they called me, he came back home, and it just got worse.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
You had a few personal problems and the music career kind of took a back step, to speak.
In a way.
Okay.
It may seem like backward, but it was going forward very rapidly.
Wicked.
Ah.
Because having been out of the family home, I had to go through courts to make sure that I am back in the family home with the case and that I'm secure.
Right.
So it took a few months before I could go back to my house in High Wycombe.
Okay.
And having done that, when I thought, this is it, let me just look after my children and be done.
Okay.
And one Sunday, I thought I was doing just that, cooking, kids around playing.
Normal day.
And I looked out the window, and there was this guy walking to my house.
Hmm.
With a guitar.
Mm. Okay.
And I'm thinking, oh my God, where is he going? He obviously was coming to my house.
Right.
And my thoughts were, maybe I should just hide. I said to my daughter, she was probably about 8 or so at the time, I wanted to say to her, go. I knew who the guy was.
Right.
He was in like a rival band.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was thinking, I should tell her to go and say to the guy, Mommy's not in. And then I thought, oops, she's going to say, Mom said to tell you she's not in.
I've done that.
Right?
Insurance might have come. Yeah, I've done that.
Let me go and answer the door and see what the guy wants. I knew him.
Right.
From a rival group. And he said, good afternoon, Judy. Can I have a word with you? Can I come in and talk to you? I said, okay, come in. He said, I've been doing some songwriting, and I remembered you from Judy Jack and the Beanstalks. And I remembered how good you were. And I was wondering if you would be willing to record.
Okay. So not even doing gigs, actually record the songs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Would it happen to be Felix?
Mm-hmm.
Felix da Silva, you're
talking about.
Right.
I was like, I remember my words were, he showed me one of the songs, which was Can't Be With You Tonight.
Oh, wow.
And my immediate thought, well, Felix, are you having an affair? Because, you know, he lived, you know, when I moved from that particular house, I was living near to Felix and his wife and family. And he says, no, Judy, I'm just writing. He's just writing.
Okay.
I couldn't believe it. So I said, okay, I have to think about this. I can't give you an answer because obviously I have children here and I've never recorded before.
Right.
I have to think about it. He says, all right then. He says, speak to your mom and I'll come back in 2 weeks.
All the time when you were in your band though, that didn't come up, that thought of going and recording?
No.
No, just a performing
band. Didn't know how.
Right.
Right.
We thought that was...
For other people.
For other people and big money.
Oh, yes, yes. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, as time went by, Felix came back and he says...
On the 2 weeks or later?
He came back on the 2 weeks.
Yeah, wow.
And he says, oh, okay, what's your decision? Did he speak to mommy? And I said, yes. And my mommy says, what have you got to lose?
Yeah. It's true.
So, meaning, because in my head now, when I'm off to the recording studio and all this, remember I have a full-time job as well.
Yeah.
You know, what's going to happen? She said, I'm here. If you need me, I'm around. And she did step in.
Nice.
You know, so the next step was Felix taking me to London.
Okay.
To this record company.
Okay.
We had a discussion.
Do you remember where it was?
Orbitone Records.
Orbitone.
Oh, okay.
In Harston.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
That's the first time. Okay. Sonny Roberts.
Sonny Roberts, yes.
That's where I started. Okay. So you probably saw this little flighty country girl, you know.
Yeah.
So however, we started, he said to sing and sang something. And he said, she's good. And that was it, so... That was the life-changing.
So what did Felix have? Did he write like an album for you to record?
He was writing all the time.
Okay.
Right.
So, but he had about 4 songs already. And we started off with Can't Meet You Tonight. I think there was That Night We Met. There was about 4 songs he already had, but he continued to write.
Okay.
So
when did they release? Was it released as an album? Was that your first release?
Well, how did you find the recording process? Because performing is one thing, but...
I thought that was rubbish.
Alright.
the shocking thing, believe me, was when you put those cans on and you start singing, it's like everything
it
coming back.
It sounds different,
here.
Yeah.
It's like, oh God.
Alien environment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, you know, didn't seem right somehow.
Can you remember the studio you worked at?
Yeah, Remaximum.
Okay, where was that?
Battersea.
Okay.
Yeah, Battersea area.
Okay.
North London.
Wow.
Battersea.
And big studio?
That was South London.
South, yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Big studio?
Not massive.
Okay.
But according to the guys, very sound.
Right,
okay.
Very good. It didn't look nothing fancy,
right.
But the sound was really
And of course
good.
You wouldn't have known because you're new to one of this.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And did you do all your own backing vocals, that kind of vibe?
Yes, I did.
Nice. 3-piece harmonies and everything.
People like that.
Cool.
Yeah.
And even when some of the songs that was published, you know, people used to say, when you do your own backing vocals, you bring tears to people's eyes.
Right.
The blend of,
yeah,
you know, harmonies, right, and the original song.
So what was the name of the album then?
Can't Be With You Tonight.
Okay, see, that's, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how did it, was it a successful album project?
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
It was. At first, we couldn't get the airplay.
Right.
We knew it was really good, because when we play to people, they also start crying.
Right.
Wow.
For some reason, and
a lot of crying going on.
But the DJs, they were funny.
Right.
You know, at the time, DJs like to be paid off, and some of them get big money.
Yeah.
You know.
Nothing new there.
Plus radio stations at that time weren't really.
There was Capital Radio, there was Radio London.
Yeah.
There was BBC Radio London, of course.
Yes.
The Capital.
Reggae wasn't really a mainstream thing for them, was it?
Reggae wasn't really a mainstream because remember we had Tony Williams, right?
Steve Bernard.
And Tony Williams really fell in love with the music.
Okay.
Well, that's a good sign.
So he would always play on reggaeton. Sunday was a special day for everybody.
Yes, I think it was.
And Capital Radio, they liked the project.
Right.
But still, they would say, the time of the day that this guy would play was between 4 and 6 in the morning.
Okay.
We thought that wasn't good enough. However, BBC guys say it's too sweet. It's too soft.
Mm.
It's too lovey-dovey.
Right, and cuddly.
And it's too slow.
Right.
If it gets any slower, it will stop.
Oh, no.
Stop it. That's for them rude.
Ring.
Yeah, that's what they thought.
Mm-mm.
However, Capital Radio guy started playing it. And one morning, there was this lady who worked on one of the TV stations in London. And she was driving to work.
I was wondering if this story was fake, you know, and then it's true again.
It's true.
Hit me with it, girl.
Absolutely true. She was driving from, I think she lived in Amersham, in Buckinghamshire.
Okay.
So she was driving to London to do an exercise program.
Right.
You know, yeah.
Not Lizzie.
Mad Lizzie.
Mad Lizzie.
Yes.
From Good Morning Britain.
Yeah. CM1.
That's the one.
Okay.
So she was driving and Camp BBC Tonight started playing. She said she couldn't take it. She said she's pulled over on the hard shoulder. And she called Capital Radio and she said, who is this?
Right.
And they told her it was this girl from Judy Boucher from Box. Where can I get one? And they told her. And she said, I got my copy, I played it. BBC was jammed, everything was jammed.
Right. Nice. So
some charted.
Okay. Wow, just about to say.
But she used to feature it when she was doing her routine, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and that's how the nation get to
work.
Right.
She invited me.
Work better,
she invited me.
Oh.
To the TV station.
Really?
And I did. And believe it or not, when I did that, she presented me with my silver disc.
Oh,
220,000 copies.
Because you entered at number one on the Wednesday and
stayed
at number two for 4 weeks.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Serendipity. I love that word because you have to be in the right place at the right time and have the right experience and all the stars are aligned. So you already was a veteran in terms of performing with your own band and doing your thing. Had this one experience of going in the studio.
Yeah.
And lick sharp, thanks to Green Goddess.
Well, yeah. You know, it wasn't that easy. I took my licks.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That Can't Be Me Tonight song, I will never forget it. Mm. Because I used to go in there and they all wanted something more. Put some more soul into it.
Right.
Put some more feeling into it. What is this feeling? I don't know.
Okay.
But nobody can tell me what it is.
Right?
So every Sunday, Judy's gone to studio with this song. Yeah?
Oh, okay.
Every Sunday. And then I began to get a little bit depressed.
Right.
Because I had a full-time job. I have a home to take care of. And children to take care of. But every Sunday, I go down there, they get me a little curry chicken and rice, and that's it, and I go into the studio and put some more feeling into it.
So when you first interpreted the song, and when it actually went out, was there much of a difference, or was it just...
Not a lot.
Well, you see. What do they know?
I didn't think there was a lot, but I'll tell you what happened. It got to a point where I'm beginning to get fed up. And I was thinking, maybe I should just quit.
Right.
So, I got on the train to Marylebone to get on the underground to South London. And I wasn't feeling good. I was feeling, why am I doing this?
Right, disheartened.
There's those miserable men.
Right. And you're on your way to studio.
They're all out there, okay. All three or four of them. And I'm in that dark room.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, with those cans on.
Yeah.
And they're going, put some more feeling into it. And I think, oh God, here we go again.
What am I, Darita?
Probably. But I know that day I planned to quit.
They had.
Oh, no, you thought they didn't tell me anything about put some more feeling into it.
Okay.
Put some more soul into it. I've had enough. So I made my way, got into the dark room. I always call it the dark room.
Vocal booth.
Put my head, my cans on. Mm. I was feeling really sad, depressed.
Okay.
Oh.
And guess what?
That was the take. That was the take.
It was the emotion.
That was the one.
Yeah.
It was the emotion.
And when they said, come out!
You the kid now!
Told you.
Come out! So I went out and they said, that's it.
Right.
Yeah.
So Felix wrote the album. Did he produce the album as well?
Felix played some guitar.
So who was the producer for the album that oversaw the whole project?
Lindell.
Okay.
A guy called Lindell Lewis.
Okay.
Who produced most of my albums.
Right.
Yeah, okay. He was always there.
Right.
He used to get his own licks from Sonny.
Okay.
Because Lindell was always late.
So there was a hierarchy going on, so to speak.
Yeah, but Sonny was... He thinks he was the boss because he has his record shop in Harlesden.
Right.
And he thinks he was the big boss.
The big man.
And we just...
Right.
Nobody's...
So when did all the touring and them things start?
Yeah, I was just going to say.
I don't know.
Immediately after Lizzie.
Right.
The next week.
How was it different to what you'd done before? Was it discernibly different?
Well, it was... You are...
Right.
Oh, right.
It's like... Of course, the song charted.
Yeah,
yeah.
Now, when you charted in the UK, you charted in Europe.
Charts everywhere.
That's it. Found myself on the underground the next week. On my, I think, Spain.
Okay.
France.
Right.
Germany. Holland. That's how it started. Sometimes I would be, like, in Portugal.
Right.
There'd be a phone call. Tell Judy she need to go on to another country.
Yeah, wow. Did you have a manager at that time?
I acquired one very quickly.
Yes, needed.
And they were very, very good. There was, they had like a setup in London near Baker Street.
Right.
Worldwide.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So a big management company there.
So they took over and at that point, sometimes two of them would accompany me.
Okay.
There were times when I had two from the company and a roadie.
Wow, okay.
Some taraj.
And what about bands? Did you use the bands in whatever country you was going to, or did you walk with a band?
Well, I started off doing tracks.
Right. PA.
PAs.
Right.
Yeah, because I wasn't required to do a lot of tracks.
Okay.
Like one time I did Switzerland and I was only required to do two songs.
Wow.
Oh, right. Okay.
Half an hour later, they're still shouting.
Okay. Nice.
Did you do Top of the Pops in those days?
Yeah.
Top of the Time.
I was did Top of the Pops with Can't Be Reached Tonight. I did Top of the Pops with You Got Mine.
Okay.
Because soon after Can't Be With You Tonight, we had You Caught My Eye.
Right.
As follow up, yeah.
And when did Dreaming of a Little Island come about? Was it around the same time?
That was very, very soon after.
Because that was one of my mom's
favorites. Because we were thinking, okay, Can't Be With You Tonight has already charted.
Yeah.
The next track which happened was the one Dream of Little Island,
yeah,
which the Jamaica Tourist Board took. Yes,
that's and that's true as well.
That
yeah.
was a shock.
That's the one. That's what we asked.
Yeah. I read that's no, that can't be true.
Yeah, really.
It is true.
Yes.
Go, girl.
I remember the first time I was sitting there watching TV, and all of a sudden, the song started playing because they're using it for their tourism.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's when your money's supposed to start rolling.
It did start.
Yeah.
Very nice.
When you get your thing on TV, that's, yeah. Yeah. Jackpot.
As Tony Williams was in that too. He was
in the advert.
In the advert, yeah.
Well, oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Come on. Must have been a young Tony, boy.
Yeah. But only his voice, you remember he had that deep.
Oh, he was in the
ratio. Yes, yes, yes.
Right.
So we did that.
Wow.
You must have felt blessed.
Well, I felt very, 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 very confused and blessed.
How did it impact on your kids and how did they feel?
Well, they love it. I reckon was on fire.
Yeah. Mom's a superstar.
Can't go Tesco no more.
Need security.
Everyone was so proud.
Wow.
You know, I used to come home. I remember one time I did, I think it was the first couple of pops.
Okay.
And I came back, and there was all these flowers at my gate.
Wow.
And the cameraman.
Okay.
So we turned back.
Wow. So when you're on Top of the Pops, was it the White City Shepherd's Bush?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
That same one.
Wow. Yeah, your career sounds really exciting.
So how did it feel? You go somewhere, they don't speak your language, but they love you because of your words. That must have been a real buzz.
Well, it was.
A bit confusing.
Because, you know, you went to France, Switzerland, Germany, Spain.
Yeah. So are you still recording now? What's happening for you now?
Yes.
Yeah?
Not say a full album or anything, but...
Okay. Some new material?
Maybe, no, again, yeah.
Nice.
It would be original, but whatever.
Okay.
I do.
Okay.
But I don't do a lot of it.
Right, and are you writing your old songs or are you working
not
with
really.
A musician?
Not really, I'm just
okay.
chilling a little bit.
Right.
Because I've had some, up until 2019, I was really, I hadn't stopped.
Right.
And that was when COVID started.
Yes.
And then about that time, I was having some issues with my knees.
Okay.
Mm.
Everyone says, yeah, it's all the aircraft flights you keep going. But so I took, I remember the last show I did, I think was with Johnny, here in South Africa.
Okay. How long ago was that?
Before your break?
That was 2019, didn't it, I think.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was going back to England.
Because you were supposed to perform here before and it didn't happen, did it?
Apartheid time.
That
was in early.
You went to...
Well, apartheid time, that was the beginning.
Yeah.
Right.
So, but they had invited me.
Mm.
But the cultural boycott.
Right.
Remember?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So the cultural boycott was about and... They wanted me to come. The record company, which was Transistor Music.
So is that again?
Transistor Music.
Transistor Music, okay.
Yeah, they were in Joburg.
Okay.
So they've invited me, but there was this cultural boycott thing going on. So I didn't feel comfortable.
Okay.
And it wasn't recommended that I go at this time, even though the album was raging.
Right.
Yeah.
Because there's some cricketers now who defied the boycott and I'll know they can't go back home.
Yeah.
Right. So I left it and wait for things to settle.
Right.
But the record company keep asking, when are you coming? The people need you.
Right.
They want you to come.
Okay.
So I contacted Equity, that's the union.
Yeah.
And they said, well, we don't have a problem with you going. But you must not sing.
Okay.
And you must not even mime.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. But they said, you've got a story.
Tell your story.
You have so much interesting things in your life. Tell your story.
Okay.
And I thought about it, and I decided, yes, I'll make the trip.
Okay.
But before then, I was thinking, what if I get to the airport and they tell me black people down there and white people up there?
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yes.
Yeah.
But and then I said, okay, let's cross that bridge when we come to it. And when I got on the plane, there was lots of black people on the back. Right. And there was lots of people, black people at the front. White and black.
Yeah.
And I was in first class with,
okay.
with the white people and the black people.
Right.
So, but they treated me well. They, oh my God.
Right.
I remember my first trip, when I got to Joburg, everybody ran from the workstation to meet me.
Yeah? Wow.
Yeah. Amazing time. They even took me up to the eye in the sky, where they did the weather.
Okay.
Yeah, that morning, straight from the aircraft, and they took me up too. So I sit under on the helicopter, you know, these things.
All right.
And we just went forward.
We're currently in this beautiful environment, looking over the, I don't know if that's the Atlantic or the Indian Ocean, it makes no difference to me because it's blue. And you're here in Cape Town, you've got a show tomorrow night. Tell us the immediate future for Miss Judy Bowacek.
Well, the immediate future is to do the performance, which everyone seems to be excited about.
Nice. You just generate that energy anyway.
Well, I tell you what, I did some performances in...
Tell me about Belgium.
Belgium?
Yeah, or is that one of these things I heard has got to be a lie.
Belgium? What did you hear about?
I heard that you did a show and there was like 40,000 people that fill out the arena and mash up the players.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Wow. Yes. They invited me, I think it was 1987.
Right.
That was, I was a hit at the time. So they invited me as the special guest from the UK at that time. I had never seen anything like it.
Wow, 100,000 people. Was that like a stadium or something?
Yeah. It was it was like an arena.
Okay.
But there seemed to be indoors and outdoors.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
That never frightened you, though. I know that make your knees knock.
No. My knees were quite firm at the time. But they were like, I thought I was only going to be doing two songs.
Okay.
20 minutes later, they're still shouting. Wow. All these candles, 40,000 apparently.
I love you.
Summer hit, 1987.
I love you.
Yeah.
Now, back to now. So you're doing a show here in Cape Town. Where else are you doing? Joburg, obviously. You're doing Joburg.
It's it is Joburg, isn't it? I think the area is called Joburg.
So you're not doing a show here. Where is the show tomorrow?
Worcester.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where it is.
And then after that.
After that, I'll be heading back.
Okay.
Yeah. This is a very short trip.
Right.
So I guess...
I'll be leaving on Tuesday.
Oh, right. Okay.
Back to the Caribbean.
Oh, so you live in the Caribbean?
That's where I live.
Nice.
Yeah, in the Grenadines.
Nice. So you left England and gone back home?
Yeah. Right,
that's it.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
I thought you were not going to live in High Wycombe with the coal.
I think I lived in the coal long enough.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, I decided it was time.
Yeah.
So, okay. But after the knee surgeries and COVID.
Yeah. And that was both your knees, right?
Yeah. Very successful. And so I went, so I had my own home there.
Nice.
Mm. And lived in... Beckway in Grenadines.
Nice, okay. So outside of music, what does Miss Judy like to do to relax and chill out and then?
I do quite a bit in the garden.
Okay. I knew you was going to say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you like a garden?
I like garden. I love flowers and stuff like that.
Okay.
In the Grenadines, there's not a lot to do.
Right.
So we try to meet other ladies from other countries. We have like a ladies club
Okay.
we decided now and again to meet for lunches.
Nice.
And go to the beach.
That's nice. Nice. Enjoy your life.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So it's just flowers and that kind of garden, or are you doing any fruits and?
Well, I'm planting things as I go along. I never stop.
Right.
So, but I grow herbs,
before anybody starts spread rumor.
Exactly.
Thyme
and mint, right. Things that you cook with.
Yes, rosemary and all.
Rosemary and stuff like that. I grow peas.
Nice.
Okras.
Okay.
Anything I can get my hands on.
Nice.
You know, I've planted some banana trees. Just recently.
Right.
I have got some lime trees, but they are giving me some licks.
Yeah.
I do not understand them.
Them hard.
Very, very hard. I've had one for about 7 years. Mm. Not one fruit.
Okay, well.
People keep saying, oh, maybe Johnny thinks it's not enough water. Some people say, put fertilizer. Some people said to me, put a rock between those two in the tree. I thought, that's stupid.
See?
How is that going to make that tree?
Bear fruit.
Bear fruit. So I put the rock between the shape there.
Yeah.
And it's still there, still no fruit.
Okay.
But I have another lime tree, and that looks very vibrant, very green, but I'm going to wait and see if it bears any fruit.
Okay. Do you get to see your family a lot now then? Do they come and see you visit?
Not a lot.
Okay.
Most of them are in Ivycombe.
Okay.
Still.
Right.
But I have a sister on the mainland.
Okay.
So she's there. Even though she doesn't visit a lot because she doesn't like the boat.
What is the mainland in the Grenadines then? Grenada?
No.
Oh.
The mainland of St. Vincent is Kingstown.
Oh, right.
Just like...
I thought the Grenadines was a group of islands.
It is.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah. So we have Mustique, Tobago Keys, Union Island,
okay.
Bekwe.
Right.
They're all the Grenadines, part of the Grenadines. Right. Belong to St. Vincent.
Okay.
Yeah.
And your sister freed out the boat and live in that environment.
Right. Yeah, my sister is afraid of it. She doesn't like that, but there are people who have to take pills. They have to come on the boat.
Oh,
I don't understand that.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, it's easy.
Yeah. But the journey is a lot easier because we do have a fast ferry.
Okay.
Which will take me from Kingstown back to Puddigwedit to Bekwe in half an hour.
That's good.
Instead of an hour.
Not too bad.
Right. Very good.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it moves fast.
What about grandchildren? Have you ever looked at grandchildren?
I have two.
Okay.
Three.
Nice.
Yeah.
Do they come and visit you?
Yes, my daughter lives in Dublin, Ireland.
Okay.
She has two children, and they came for Christmas.
Nice.
My son, who still lives in Ivycombe, because I have another home there, and he lives in it with his 8-year-old daughter.
Nice.
But he's a little bit, he works for the government and he's a linguist.
Linguist, okay.
Yeah, so they were going through a period where there were lots of people from different countries, speaks French,
right.
German, Spanish, Latin, all those things.
Wow.
So he finds it difficult to get the time off that he would want to come. You know, to Bekwe.
Okay. So you seem to be having quite enjoying the fruits of your labor, shall we say. You seem quite a very happy lady.
Yes.
You're living the dream, girl. I mean, you get adulation from everywhere you go. People love you. They must tell you all the stories about, oh, my mother used to love this story.
Any reading I do about you.
Yeah. All the comments are, positive. Oh, my dad, you know, I remember my mom and my dad, that was their wedding song. Yeah. And, so
and you know, sometimes you read things, like if you are listening to one of my songs, maybe on YouTube, the amount of things that people write is very touching.
This is what I'm saying, yeah.
Absolutely.
Very, very.
Like I said,
and people would meet in the street and they would always say, oh, that was my mom's favourite song.
CMT, yeah. So you brought a lot of joy to people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you've been an extreme joy to sit down with. The time has just flown by. I just want to say how grateful I am personally to have this sit down chat with you. It's been lovely. Miss Judy, is there any messages you want to send to the people? Because we live in troubled times and
yes,
that's ray of sunshine we want as much as possible.
I am grateful that I am able to come back to South Africa once again, because they keep saying, when are you coming home?
Right. That's what they say.
And I'm saying, be patient.
Right.
I will be there.
Right.
But you know, I'm just so welcome everywhere I go.
Nice, nice.
And
that's a nice feeling.
I guess I'm very lucky in that sense.
One quick question before we kind of wrap it up. What advice would you give to your younger self now, looking back on your career?
I don't even think I would change things.
Okay, that's fair enough.
I think I would, well, for me, look what happened.
Yeah. It was the right.
I was not looking for fame.
Right. Fame found you.
Fame found me.
Right.
Beautiful.
And what would you tell an up and coming inspiring artist, musician in these times? What advice would you give to them?
Be patient.
Lovely.
And try to do your best.
Lovely.
Listen well.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of advice out there and good ones.
Yeah.
I've taken a lot from Johnny.
Okay.
And I know he wants the best for me,
yes,
along with other good friends I met along the way.
Right, lovely.
And I listen well.
Well, we have to.
Yeah.
Anyway, Judy, it's been such a pleasure having you here with us, sharing your story with ourselves and with the world and the community. So this has been Garvey's Ghost in the Spectrum of Roots. Thank you to all the viewers and all the listeners. It's been Judy Boucher with us. Tune in soon for the next episode. We out. Peace and love.
Thank you, Miss Judy.
Thank you.
Nice being here again.
Blessings.
And keep inviting me, and I will be back.
Lovely. Give thanks.